You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 19. Hi everyone and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jiyun Yoon. Connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. These episodes are also found on YouTube at youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working very hard to make their dream a reality. Whether that means they've just snatched up a Stellar X2 microphone or received their very first recommendation on Casting Call Club. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell, and your morning doesn't yet involve a mouth warm-up routine, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorsshowcase.com. And while you're there, please check out the store and pick up an introverted voice actor shirt or a brand new Record Get Money Get Tacos t-shirt for yourself or for your favorite voice actor. Of course, the sales from the stores will go to supporting the show as well as paying the voice actors in future episodes. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Welch, West Virginia. Over the last 2 years of active voice acting journey, he's been able to book a number of character roles on various platforms. Even though he lives in a very remote and rural part of West Virginia, where there are more trees than people, he's experienced absolutely zero problems marketing himself to his clients. He's the voice of Koyan of the original animated series Dark the Series by Alizarin. Please welcome Dawson Adams.
Hey, sorry about last night. I just didn't feel like going out. Okay, so the guys were over. The game went on a little long is all. I apologize, okay? I should have called you earlier to tell you that I wouldn't be there. Are we cool? Okay, I see you nodding, but now I feel like maybe we're not cool and that actually you're mad at me. So, are you mad at me? Blink once for yes, twice for no. Okay, fine, I'm not funny, I get it. It's not like I knew you were going to go early and get us a table. How could I have known that? It sounds like you're the one who's embarrassed that people were waiting on you and you had to leave without ordering. But what does that have to do with me? We agreed that we might meet at 8. Okay, I'm not saying that what you did wasn't nice. Normally, that would have been really thoughtful, but that doesn't mean I knew you were doing it. If I had, I would have called sooner. I'm not an inconsiderate jerk, you know. I'm just trying to point out where you might be being a bit hypocritical? Okay, never mind. I take it back. Jeez, can't you see that I'm trying to apologize?
Dawson Adams! Hello,
hey.
Sir, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad we can finally get this started. Again.
just for everybody listening, and full transparency here, we had this conversation before, and then at the very end of it, what happened?
Oh, my power just decided to go, no, you don't get this recording today. I should have. What was going on is we actually had a conversation going post-show, and it went on for at least 5 minutes, and I didn't click save. I left my recording hot, so I didn't click save. Everything went away as soon as the power cut off, and hopefully that doesn't happen again. If it happens again, we'll all be very upset.
Cursing the heavens. All right, let's get right back into it.
Yeah.
Talk to us about how you got started in voice work, please.
Well, it actually happened a pretty long time ago. That's not to say I've been doing this for a long time. I've only really been doing it for 2 years. But I remember like the first inklings of this actually happened like when I was 8 years old, mostly. I've always kind of been a performer type a little bit. It's always been a little bit in me. It hasn't always been as like to the forefront as I... as it is now, but there's always been a little bit of that get in front of everybody and say words in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
I would be that kid in elementary school who, whenever you're doing one of those play readings from your reading book, I would always be the one that's actually giving effort rather than going like, the brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. I don't know.
Right.
And then I didn't know I wanted to be an actor at all, but I just knew I wanted to do things for people. There was this show. This is like the weird thing, because this is the one thing I remember that kind of was the first inklings of this concept in my head. There's a show called Chowder. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not, actually.
It's
no.
a,
It's an American or Canadian TV show. It's a cartoon that was on Cartoon Network in 2008. And when I was younger, I would love this show. And I loved it so much that I constantly imitated the voices on the show.
Ah.
Probably very poorly since I was like 8 years old. But anyway, there's this one episode where there's a fourth wall break. So throughout the entire episode, they get a lot of money.
Huh.
And then at some point they lose that money. And then these repo men start walking through their house taking everything. And like the main character is like, "We have no money. Do you know what that means? No money means no animation." And then like the video clip changes to like inside of a vocal booth.
Oh my gosh.
And it's these four actors sitting there, and one of them is a kid, and that blew my mind. And it made me like think about doing that for the first time. I've grown up in this area of West Virginia, like this southernmost area, and it's not exactly actor like central. So it's been a very weird upbringing for me here. It's also not exactly a great place to make a living. And that's what I've been trying to do for the past 3 or 4 years. This place is kind of like poverty stricken. And I didn't notice that when I was a kid, because you don't have to try to make a buck when you're a kid, but things have changed and I'm 21 now. Throughout high school, I didn't know what I wanted to be. And then around 10th or 11th grade, it was getting forced upon me. Find out what you want to be. You're about to graduate.
Huh.
And I thought I was going to be a video editor because that's something I'm kind of okay at. That's not really what I want to do, though. I don't have a passion in that. It's very boring to me, personally. I know a lot of people who love it, and there's an artistic craft for it. I'm not trying to insult video editing, but
sure.
To me, it's just kind of like a, yeah, it's just kind of like a task, you know?
Yeah.
I just, around 11th grade senior year, I started thinking what I really wanted to do. I graduated, sat on that for about a year, and around December, I made my first Casting Call Club audition.
Nice.
I think that's it for that question.
Okay. Can you tell me about the very first audition that you submitted?
Oh. It's a character, I think his name was Hunter. It was like a animation. I recorded it on my Chromebook microphone. And it's really bad. Sounds awful. And I use the application Vocaroo because a Chromebook doesn't have like Audacity. You can't download stuff like that. So I use the web app Vocaroo, and you can only record for so long. So my takes had to be perfect, and they weren't because I was new. And you can just hear all the, it's like a very reverby recording. You can hear the laptop
ka-ching, oh, no.
Whenever I click the mouse down. It's pretty bad, but I like listening to those older auditions.
That's awesome. I mean, people just don't arrive at, oh, you know, I'm going to do voice acting. And I'm additionally curious about the transition between the moment you saw the child actor in the booth recording the lines to how you found Casting Call Club. Like, what happened there?
Well, it wasn't immediate. Like, I didn't see, like, that kid with John DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio. I mix his name up with the baseball player, I'm sorry. And Tara Strong, and I wish I knew the name of the guy who played Monk, because he's great. But I didn't go from seeing that clip to go, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. It planted the seeds into
me. Gotcha.
And it was when I was just trying to find myself right after I graduated that I was like, this kind of feels like something I've always wanted to do.
You've also acted on the stage too, right? And I also come from the theater world, and it's been a great foundation to build my voice work on. Talk to us about how working on the show called Terror of the Tug, which you worked on, has informed your voice acting today.
Oh man, it's invaluable to be able to have any amount of acting experience like that. For perspective, I say I'm a stage actor, but I've been in one play. I wasn't even in like drama school. I was in a different place while I was in high school, so heck no, I wasn't going to be in any drama class. I would do it immediately now, but I'm a different person now.
Right.
There's just a lot that being on that stage helped me with. But you also have to, like, work with other actors at the same time.
Right.
In front of lots of people with no mistakes. Or very little mistakes. And you have to, when you make those mistakes, you have to play them off in a way that it felt intentional. And that kind of thinking on your feet is so helpful for any amount of voice acting.
Absolutely.
It's weird because I had, like, no fear being in front of that many people. I don't know why, because when I was in high school and I had this class that was, like, speech, we had to find a book we liked and deliver a book report on it.
Oh.
Simple.
Yeah.
I had written my book report. I had memorized my book report. I didn't even need the paper. I just brought it up there so it looked like I needed it. And I got up there and looked at the 7 total classmates, 4 of which I knew personally, and I was shaking.
Of course, of course.
I don't know why. Meanwhile, I'm standing in front of 200 people, most of them strangers, and a lot of them also people that were my family and friends. And I'm just like, whatever. I'm my character. I'm doing my thing.
Yeah. Where does that confidence come from?
I don't know. I think it's just being confident in yourself and what you are performing.
As long as you know that you've got it, right? Yeah. Then it's come see, come watch, and yeah. Who cares?
That's the value of, like, rehearsal. Because imagine if I just kind of knew all the lines but didn't know how I would interact with the other actors. And I brought that level of uncertainty onto the stage in front of those people. That would have been a lot worse.
Agreed. And that confidence definitely shows in The Banished Prince, Koyin, which you voiced, right? Ooh, in an original segue. Series on YouTube called Dark the Series by Elizarin on YouTube. Now, yeah. I've watched a few episodes of this series, and I have to say, I really, really enjoyed your performance. Now, tell us more about this character, a bit of the story and what it's about, and your experience voicing Koyin.
Oh man, Koyin was just such a dream, you know? I love cartoons, I love animation, I love anime. Anytime, like, people are drawing stuff together and making the illusion of movement, I'm into that.
Mm.
So voicing an original character from a show with, like, pretty good animation, with an artist with beautiful artwork in their portfolio, as an amateur, like I am, was an absolute dream to do.
Mm.
And Koyin's a fun character, and it was a pretty good learning experience. He's pretty fun. Having, like, the ability to voice, like, a protagonist kind of, like, young male character, and then voice, like, evil villain guy was just a blast, honestly.
Mm.
And I recommend anybody to watch it. There's a lot going for it. Animation's pretty solid.
Now, there are a number of different genres in voice work, right? There's explainers to e-learning to audiobooks and all the others. Now, looking through your tweets and YouTube videos that you run, it seems like your focus is really on animation and dubbing. And you know in your heart that's what you want to do. Let's take 30 years from now. Where are you?
Hopefully. 30 years is a time jump, man. How old will I be? I'll be 50.
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully by 50, I have a pretty expansive voiceover career, and I've made it my actual career, and I'm living in a nice place in a nice area, and I'm doing this as a full-time job. That's the goal. I know my goals are probably going to change when I hit 30 and 40. I'm going to want different things. I don't want kids now, but that changes always for a lot of people. Sometimes it doesn't. There are plenty of people who are perfectly fine without having kids. I am right now, but I'm also 21. So almost forgot my age for a second. We'll see about that.
Now, does that dream also include moving out to L.A. or New York?
Yeah. Absolutely. New York would be the most cost efficient, but eventually I think everyone makes that jump to LA in this business usually, right?
Especially for animation. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely LA.
100%. You'd be hard pressed to find any animation work in any other place. I mean, you can go to Texas and that's where a lot of dubbing's done, if I'm correct.
Right, Funimation's in Texas, that's right.
At first it was like definitely my my goal, and it still is to an extent. But I've grown to like voiceover more than animation and games and stuff like that. All my hobbies, those are great, but I enjoy doing this, so I would like to do any of it.
Completely agree. And yeah, in order to be successful, the acting portion of your voice acting has to be there. And yeah, with the location that you're in, where there are more trees around you than there are people, does it make it difficult to receive training? And how have you conquered that, if you will?
Yeah, it's made it actually very difficult to receive any kind of training. Not only because there is almost no room for that here. Well, there's plenty of room for it, but there's no opportunity for that here. Most of it's out of state or very, very up north, where it's like at least a two-hour drive. Also, financial situations. Training costs money.
Right.
Ain't free. And with my current financial situation, it's just not available. I guess that's the word I'll use. It's the one that's springing to my brain. It would be hard for me to drive to it, and it would be hard for me to pay for it. Casting Call Club does do this voiceover training, and I've thought of that, but it's also, like I said, it's very expensive.
And that's what I was going to kind of segue into with my next question. Does the location really matter anymore now that there's internet?
I'd say it matters, but just doing it, you could do it anywhere, because if you just want to do this thing as a hobby, which many people do, if you just want to do this thing as a hobby, man, you've got a wealth of options. There was this open casting call for a character named Nitro in a game called Lethal League Blaze. And that was an open casting call. It was on Twitter. There was this Google Doc. I did it. I sucked at it. I couldn't really nail the character, but Devontae Johnson sure as heck did, and he got the part.
And have you found most of your auditions on Twitter and Casting Call Club?
Yeah, mostly. I'd say the majority of them have came from those two sites, particularly. I've gotten some from a lot of other sites. Like I recently just did an audition for like four characters on a casting call on Voice Actors Club just yesterday, last night. It was for an RPG. I don't know if I got the part yet. I haven't checked my email. Probably should do that. But yeah, I'd say mainly Casting Call and Twitter. Casting Call Club and Twitter is my my domain.
Yes, indeed. I also play on Casting Call Club too. I go there to recruit and hire. Right, I've seen your auditions before. I go there to hire and recruit voice actors for my fan dubs and passion projects. And I personally think it's a really great platform for dipping your toes in the water, trying voice acting, and for existing voice actors to really kind of flex and explore and experiment. How has your experience been, aside from the Darkness series, obviously, how has your experience been working on CCC?
It's been helpful in a lot of ways and insightful.
Yeah.
And just fun. You really get the vibe for how much rejection there is. because I think if you look at my casting call page, which for each page of auditions, there's like 20 auditions, you'll see that I've usually got at least two of them. And that like applies for like the entire page. I think I've been getting more frequent in my casting just because, one, I've been more picky about what I'm doing and I've gotten better. Right now, I'm usually only auditioning for things that I, like, really feel that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been extra picky about things lately. I don't know why. I should probably improve on that.
No. That's actually a better way to do it. Because if you, why would you audition for things you know you're not gonna get, unless you're experimenting? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Related to this, on your casting call for My Senpai is Annoying.
Yeah.
I didn't do the old boss guy because that's not my vocal range, and I could barely do it.
And you're never gonna get that because you're just not an old dude.
Nope.
You know?
I still like auditioning for stuff that I usually don't fit, even though I don't do it as much as I feel like I should. Because, like, it gives you a chance. It gives you, especially on a site like Casting Call Club, it gives you a chance to experiment.
I'm in the same camp. I mean, if you're experimenting and trying something with your voice to portray a character that's outside of your range, then I think that's perfectly fine. At the same time, knowing your archetype is uber important. What are yours, Dawson?
I usually get booked for, like, young male adults with, like a kind of typical young ML. I know this is very broad, but a young male adult sound.
Yep. And I would agree.
From people like Koyan, which is just my voice, to that character I auditioned for on your project, which is just some young office worker dude. That's typically my sound. Also, I have this weird tendency to be able to get like rougher sounding voices into my vocal box pretty well. So any character that's kind of like gruff sounding, I can tend to do. I'm for some reason very good at playing angry characters. I don't know if that speaks to something in my heart, but it just happens.
That's awesome. Through this process, right? Through this process of life and through this process of working as a voice actor, I'm interested to learn about what you had learned about yourself.
All right. A few things. I learned that when I was in high school, I wasn't very on top of my game. I needed to do a lot of things, and I didn't do them. My life actually just wasn't in, like, a great place there. I was ridiculously overweight. Not a fun place to be, for me at least. I lost a lot of weight since then, about 100 pounds. Makes me feel a lot better. And I think that only happened because around after I graduated, I had time to think to myself. And as I started doing voiceover, that gave me like a rhythm and routine to work with and an idea on how to do things that maybe, because sometimes you don't want to, you don't want to get in the booth. You don't want to do anything that day, like much less like there's some days I don't want to play video games, you know, and that's just a hobby I enjoy. I love voice acting, but there's just some days you don't want to do things. I think that's pretty normal for a lot of people. Maybe not everybody. That's just me. If I get in the rhythm of doing it right now, even though I don't want to do it, I'll probably start enjoying it. Then we can start making progress. And that has taught me how to just, like, do things in life in general. Like, things that you need to do right now, but maybe you don't quite want to do. That's just adulthood. And voice acting has show me that.
I think that's a pretty common thing that's running through the industry, both for aspiring as for professional, is to, you know, get up and do stuff.
Yeah, just do it. Nike is right when they say that, by the way.
Okay, the following questions are questions I ask everybody. So here we go.
All right.
I think the equipment that we use and the equipment and the gear that we upgrade to are pretty interesting mile markers of our progress in this industry. Now, Dawson, what equipment did you start out with and what are you using now?
Well, as I said earlier, I started out with a laptop mic. I progressed to a Blue Snowball, and it's probably just confirmation bias, but I felt like my laptop mic was holding me back. Minute I went to Walmart, grabbed a Snowball, I got casted. it was an experience to be to like. I bought this device, now I get work. And it's just like, I don't think that really had that much to do with it, but it was holding me back to have that laptop microphone. I've moved on to a little bit more of a professional setup now. I have a, it's the Neuer NW700, and I run it into my, was it Behringer? Behringer? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Behringer, yeah.
UM2. Euphoria. Yeah. It's a pretty cheap interface, but it's slick. It works. It has technical issues, but it's also $50. So you take what you can get.
Yeah. And as long as it produces, you know, usable sound, mm-hmm. then hey.
I plan on moving to like a Focusrite 2i2. I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's very common and it sounds great. And the mic I plan on replacing is, I'm going to jump up to like the AT2020.
Speaking of future plans, what are some goals? Short term, long term, personal, professional?
My short term goal is to just make voice acting have a monthly profit, at least. Like, I make money off of it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
That involves having a audio setup that's consistent, and improving my acting and my range. That's the goal. Is I do those things, and I keep putting effort to make a better, like I guess, brand out of myself.
Mm. No, I think that's a really good goal. And what are some steps, if you have prepared any?
Some steps to getting to that point.
Yeah.
What I'm wanting to do, and what I see a lot of people try to do in any kind of art form, is get to a point where you're consistent enough that no matter how you're feeling that day, you'll be producing a certain level of content that people want. And that's what I'm trying to do with my voiceover. And I'm trying to get a job right now, because that'll help me like fund this whole idea. Takes money to make money, you know.
Sure does. How about some personal goals?
Personal goals. Keep losing weight, definitely. Get better at fighting games. That's a little thing. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I have obviously bigger goals, but I love fighting games. I have plenty of them, like way too many. I don't want to go through all of them. I'm trying to get better at fighting games because they're deep and they interest me.
Everybody has rough days, and we need that little something to take the edge off. What do you get?
Well, when I'm having a rough day, I actually usually just drink tea.
Ah.
Alcohol, I'm not into alcohol, personally. Maybe that'll change when I get older. When I turned 21, which was last November, I had two alcoholic beverages to try at my disposal. Because now that I was of legal drinking age, I tried I think it was a light Corona beer. I hate beer, and that one was no different. I did not drink very much of that because it was kind of nasty. And I drank actually an okay amount of this this cherry Pinnacle vodka.
Oh.
Was pretty nice. I like ginger ale as a soda. And that vodka had a similar burn, but it was more intense, and it was in my chest, and it made me feel warm, even though probably it didn't actually raise my body temperature any. It was nice, but it still had that alcohol vibe, and I'm not a big fan of that.
So, Dustin, what's next for you? What do you have coming up? Where do you go from here? And if the listeners want to find out more about you, where can they go to learn more about you?
All right. I'm in a new animation coming up. It's called, I think, Schooled Simpletons. It's a dub of a Hungarian animation. I play a character named Bucket, who's like this like 15, 16-year-old high school student. But he has like the mental like energy and like sometimes intelligence of a 12-year-old. And so he's really up in my range. And he's kind of high-pitched, much higher-pitched than I'm delivering right now.
Mm.
And he has a fast pace to him, which has kind of been difficult because this is a dub and I have to match lip flaps.
Right.
And the show is like a slapstick kind of show, so it's kind of fast. And this character is fast. So it's been a new experience. I like him a lot. I'm putting effort into making comic dubs on my YouTube channel, a more prominent thing. I'm putting my video editing skills to the test because I'm putting a lot more effort into the editing than I usually would for these kind of videos now. I have a standard that I'm trying to meet that I've set in my head. It's made things take a little bit longer, but I think it's going to be worth it. I'm halfway through editing a dub of the manga of Nichijo. It's a particular chapter of Nichijo that I'm dubbing. Having a fun time with it. Yumi Fuzz, I believe that's their name. She delivered a great performance of Mio.
And what's the YouTube channel name?
Bafooba. B-A-F-O-O-B-A. Oh, and also there's another project. There's a mod coming out for Fallout called Fallout the Frontier. It's a pretty sizable mod. It looks great. I voice a lot of background characters, like the ghouls from the game. There's a particular ghoul I voice in a certain place. There's one of the like people who walk around and trade goods with you. I voice like a generic character of that. And there's also a short role of a dude on a radio who's in distress.
All right. I wish that project the best of luck, and especially with you in it. That's awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Now you're done. Now you get to go and have your tea. What a journey it's been.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, thank you very much for spending some time here with me this afternoon. It was great talking with you.
It was fun being on this podcast.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.